Hi there, my name is Grace Haynes and I am delighted to welcome you to episode 2 of Anti-Racism in Action, Employers and Employment, which has been co-produced by the Black FE Leadership Group and FE News. Anti-racism means everything to me. Over the past 18 months, we've all experienced the pandemic of COVID-19. I believe that we have two pandemics at play in our society right now: COVID-19 and racism. Both have resulted in the loss of life, both have had a devastating effect on families, and both need to be eradicated. We might need to live with COVID-19. However, we must never accept living with racism. So please join me, the Black FE Leadership Group, and many others in the fight to ensure that anti-racism remains at the front and centre of everything we do. Thank you.
Thank you, Grace. Welcome to Anti-Racism in Action, episode 2. What an awesome intro to this second episode, and what powerful, powerful words. We've had to come to terms with living with COVID-19, but no way do we need to come to terms with living with racism. And today we've got an amazing, amazing episode. We're looking at employers and employment. And today I'm going to be joined by my co-host, Stella. Now, this is completely co-produced between FE News and the Black FE Leadership Group. And absolute total credit goes to Stella, who has been absolutely working her socks off every single week on putting this thing together. How are you, Stella?
I'm great, Gavin. How are you?
Yeah, really good, thank you. And today's a really, really interesting episode. We're looking at employers and employment, and looking really at the way that business and employers can come together to drive things forward, to make positive change. And maybe so that you can set the scene. So how can we explore what the challenges are at the moment with employers and employment, but also the business case of what and looking at diverse sort of teams and looking at the way we need to drive things forward?
Absolutely. Gavin, you will know that a recent McKinsey report gives the background and continues to highlight the business case for diversity, racial diversity at work and in leadership. But in spite of this, one would have thought really that business would take this on board, but really they haven't. We know that there's a lot to be done in business, in employment, with apprenticeships to drive racial diversity in the workplace. So this episode, as you say, is really, really important, and we need to bring this message home.
Yeah, 100%. And when you think, that McKinsey report was a 2021, the diversity wins and how inclusion matters. McKinsey, have got an awful lot of reach and influence. And you would really think that we've had the pandemic, but at the time, that's sort of a little bit of an excuse for things not moving forward. It didn't move forward very rapidly before the pandemic. So it's intermediary stopgap for the way this has sort of moved, really. We have two fantastic guests, which I'd love to introduce in. It's Amajit from Turning Point and Robin from JISC. Hi, Amajit. Hi, Robin. How are you?
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Robin, got the best view ever in the background. I think out of all of the live streams we've done, Robin wins on the amazing background. That is like superb. What a view you've got from the office there, Robin.
It's good to come into the office in London today. It's been great.
It's fantastic. Can I ask, maybe Amajit, could you explain Turning Point and how you got involved with the Black FE Leadership Group? And then Robin, if I could do the same with you with JISC. I think a lot of people know who JISC are who are FE News readers, but I'd love to be able to sort of explain it just in case, if you know what I mean. So Amajit, if you could maybe go first.
Thank you. Gavin, Turning Point's 58 years old and it's a health and social care enterprise. We've got trading styles of Right Steps and Live Life as well. And really we're involved in providing support to people with substance misuse, mental health or learning disabilities and criminal justice as well. And how I came across the Black FE leadership group was through the Positive Transformation Group, which Sir Ken Aliza is involved in, and Dan Brown. So we had a presentation, which I was delighted to attend, and it was such a powerful message that Stella and her team delivered. It made such an immediate impact on me that once it had been heard, it couldn't be ignored. And that really drew me in. And since then, we've had ongoing conversations and ongoing engagement. So that's been how I came to this conversation.
No, that's cool. Robin, how did, because JISC, interesting organisation, how did you get involved with the Black FE Leadership Group?
Well, just before I share that, for those of you who don't know who JISC are, we are the digital partner agency for UK further and higher education research, providing a whole set of services from infrastructure through to cyber and content, etc. I got involved with the Black FE Leadership Group. I'm sure it was a phone call from Stella very early on, as she was seeking some founding members to join the group. And it really touched me on a personal level. It made me think that as a leader in a position of influence, that I've got to say, along with my peers for quite some time, I thought, well, we hadn't done enough. And over, say, 27 years of a career in FE, it made me think that it can't be right that I was the only, more often than not, person that was Black in a room at, say, management, leadership, board levels. And the Black FE Leadership Group provided a real galvanizing moment. I think a moment for me as a founding member, but also an opportunity for the first time to share lived experiences and actually dare to be different. And therefore a real call to work with peers of all identities to take action that would ultimately lead to an anti-racist and just society. So, you know, why wouldn't you want to join this incredible birth of an organisation that was going to do something I felt that was going to be just different?
Yeah, no, definitely. Can I ask you both, Amajit and Robin, you know, Senna's mentioned the McKinsey report, yeah, the business case for businesses to be thinking, you know, diversely, you know. Why do you think there's been this barrier? What is the way forward? You know, this whole title and topic of this this whole series is anti-racism in action, but it's all about solutions. It's like, you know, drawing a line. You know, we understand that there's things that haven't gone the way that everyone would think should go to plan. But what is the way forward? How can we sort of help businesses and education be able to drive this forward and to have more diversity? Amajit, what are your sort of views on that?
I think for me, it really needs to be a board level agenda item. And I'm very grateful for our chief exec and the exec team and the board at Turning Point, because it does rest there, and it's great to see it come into action. And that needs to permeate across the organization. So the tone and the culture is set that this is an important agenda item. I don't think that race and diversity are hygiene factors. We ought not to be in a world where we're still talking about the problems, but unfortunately we are. So I think that setting that agenda at the board level is one of the first things that's very important, and gives the organisation a message that this is coming and this is important to the organisation. Again, I think listening to the grassroots of the organisation is very, very important. And I think that's not just the staff involved, but in our case, it's the people that we serve. It's the people that we support, and in making sure that all of those voices are heard. As an employer, we need to make sure that what we do not only impacts our colleagues and our staff, but it transmits through to the services that we deliver, and we deliver those in a fair and equitable way. So beyond that, I think we need to start putting into place practical steps and easy steps that people can start to address the agenda with. So what tools can we equip people with? How do we start to demystify and take away the taboo about talking about these things? I know, you know, without going into personal examples, I know throughout my life that for me personally, it's been difficult sometimes to discuss matters because people have felt awkward. And some things we don't need to feel awkward about. We need to just own it, acknowledge it, and then see what we can do about it. So I think from an organization's perspective, the culture and the tone are very, very important. And then I think it's about putting into place practical steps. And we can talk a little bit about those in this conversation, Gavin, but about putting into place the practical steps that bring real support to start removing the racism that exists, sometimes inadvertently, sometimes quite obviously, within the workplace and within the services that employers provide to create a much more inclusive environment.
Yeah, thanks, Amjit. Robin, could we have a chat around, like, from the education perspective? Yeah, your career is been a long time in education now within JISC. Do you think there's an element around sort of recruitment selection development practices which should be addressed on this to be able to help bring in more diversity, to bring in different ideas and scopes to be able to grow the diversity agenda, really?
Yeah, Gavin, absolutely. And as with Amajit, it has to start with the leadership that sets the tone in terms of culture, the climate within which staff are operating, and the clarity of communications in this space, and therefore the permissions that it's okay to talk about this without fear. And that, guess what, we won't always get the conversations right. They will be challenging, they will be difficult conversations. And if I think about JISC as a whole, you know, we've made tremendous strides in tackling disability and accessibility, gender and equality, as have many organizations, and narrowing the pay gap, for example. And, you know, we've got women in our top three positions at JISC, which is great for a tech company and would have been unheard of. But actually, when you look at the percentage of Black employees within the organization, we could do so much better. And we work within cities that have a high density of Black, Asian, minority, ethnic citizens. And that's not reflected within the organization. But we are making a significant commitment to ensure that we invest in a program of anti-racism. And we're very specific that anti-racism will sit alongside diversity and inclusion, so have its own specific strand, and have an education program. So it starts with education and educating our own staff, whether that's through leadership programs. And within our leadership program that we've just launched, having a focus on our hiring managers. So going back to the recruitment process and looking at their approach to recruiting, as well as our strategic leaders and the role they play in leading on this particular agenda. And some of the tools and techniques that can be used, you know, looking at masterclasses for our leaders, bringing in stronger allies to ensure that we've got those that have had these lived experiences, even within our organization. So those kind of conversational pieces with our Black staff, but also externals that can come in and actually, you know what, there isn't space for being a bystander, and our behaviors must ensure that we're not bystanding, that we are being stronger allies. So I think it's really important that there is a plan to ensure that from a data point, and I remember last week there was a series one when they were talking about data, it's understanding your data and what's driving those behaviors from application to recruitment, to then actually progression within the organization, and taking positive action to ensure that Black colleagues have the opportunity to genuinely progress based on their talent and their commitment, but actually that they can too. And you know, we need to build these role models for the future. Really critical.
Can
I come in there, Gavin? It's really interesting, Robin, that JISC have actually approached this agenda by having a separate strand dealing with race and a separate strand dealing with diversity and inclusion, which is really interesting, I think, because I don't know whether you've seen this, but many organizations tend to go equality, diversity and inclusion, and, you know, bring all these agendas together. I don't know whether you think this works. I'd be interested to know why JISC has taken this approach.
Yeah, I think it's a really good question. Whether it works, we're at the beginning of our journey, Stella, as you will know. And we're anticipating seeing data trends from this autumn into the spring of 2022 in terms of the impact measures of everything from the internal voice, we've set up a Guardian scheme, for example. Now, the Guardian scheme is part of a wider D&I initiative, but it struck us that it was clear that having those safe spaces where we have individuals that have been trained to support, for example, everything from bullying, harassment, discrimination. So you could, a bit like in the FE sector, where you have safeguarding nominated individuals. So there are trusted spaces where colleagues can have conversations about their experiences. And that's a really important shift for us. Having a separate strand means that we can put a dedicated resource. I'm pleased to announce that we have just agreed to be an affiliated member of the Black FE Leadership Group, which means that we're going to be working with the expertise across the network of Black FE leaders to ensure that we have the right approach to using, for example, the toolkit, to bring the right challenge, starting with our executive leadership team, right the way through the organization. Having a specific strand means it raises it above the parapet, and it gives people permissions to say it's okay to talk about it. Sometimes within the wider D&I aspect, it can get lost, and it's just seen as a, for example, you know, today we've got Dr. Maxine Rheem speaking to all of our staff about her lived experience. Now, one could argue, yes, it's Black History Month, but our theme is Black history all year round. And there's something to be said like that across an organisation of 900 staff, I think is really powerful.
I think it's interesting as well, you've mentioned the word parapet. So many times you hear, I don't want to put my head above the parapet in the FE sector, particularly by leaders, that I think that it's really interesting that you've also, it's just shining the light on those areas where people do feel that they can't talk about certain things. And it's like you said, like a taboo subject and stuff. And it's how can you sort of encourage people, put your head above the parapet, you know, like let's actually like really have a proper conversation here and be real, you know. Stella, could I ask you about the, you know, Robin mentioned as well around the whole recruitment piece, around looking at, you know, different ways of exploring around recruitment, where you've had quite an interesting process maybe a week or so ago around exploring recruitment with different recruitment organisations in the sector.
That's been a really groundbreaking development, where these major search companies who are competitors have gathered round the agenda of race in the workplace and increasing the talent pool and the pipeline to leadership and recruiting more Black staff. And I hasten to say here that we use Black as an inclusive term, Black for those who would previously have been called Black and minority ethnic. It's all those who have got who share that lived experience of racism. So these search companies have come together and worked with us, the major ones, over 9 months, even nearly a year, to come up with an anti-racist protocol, because they are determined, absolutely determined, to be part of the solution and to bring about change and to work with boards, because boards are critically influential in the recruitment of Black leaders. So that's been a groundbreaking development, and this protocol will be launched in November at the Association of Colleges Conference. I do know that putting your head up above the parapet, as Amarjit has said, is something that many, many leaders find quite difficult in an environment where they are often the only or one of two Black people in an organisation. Certainly, Robin in FE, in terms of that you know, or HE or those organisations served by GIS would be the only one. And as we have met leaders, and you know, we were invited to talk to the board of GIS with the chief executive there. they'll be the only one. And Amajit, I know that you have that experience as well. And I don't know what that means to you, being, you know, one of few.
I think for me, Stella, I think it's very important that, in my case, I'm very lucky that we have a very forward-thinking exec team and a board that's very, very supportive. And that's really important, I think. And I think in our organisation as well, if we look at the employer perspective, we now see that we've talked about recruitment processes, but we've seen a lot of transfer of education into the employment place through apprenticeships. And I was quite surprised to learn last week that in modern apprenticeships, 60% of people that start them using the levy, that only 60% of people that start them complete. Now, I wondered how many people were from a black and minority background that completed in that figure as well. So something in that agenda is going wrong. But I think when we talk about putting our head above the parapet, we need to be able to do that in a constructive, safe way. And people being equipped with the skills of resilience, being able to manage anxiety that comes with that. If you're at the end of education where you're a part of the staff and the people that work in the education sector, then no doubt you've come up through years of facing issues. Can we equip people to deal with that? Can we equip people with the tool sets to deal with that? If you're starting out and you're a learner in education, then how do we build that in so that you're always equipped and always on? And you know, to take you through some of the practical examples that we're putting into place. So for example, with the sponsorship of our top tier and throughout our management structure, apprentices that now come into Turning Point and other providers that we work with as well receive support through therapists having a conversation when they come in, a program of education around developing skills of resilience, lowering anxiety, and then check-in throughout the apprenticeship scheme. And I tend to find that no matter what background you come from, that's very helpful, but particularly if you've had issues such as race, discrimination, and other factors that might be going on in your personal life, those are real practical steps that can help people and can help people develop resilience and overcome these issues. But they also bring everybody else into the story as well. It's a we issue. It's not just an issue for one particular group. We're going to solve this together and bring in that conversation together. And as I said, at Turning Point, we're very, very fortunate. And actually, I serve on another board as well, and I'd say that it's the same over there, that people are focused on the issue and people are very determined when they hear the powerful story, Stella, that you brought forward and your team has brought forward, that they're very determined to do something about it. So I think that top level cultural change and practical tools and help that can be given is very, very important from an employer perspective.
I think the whole thing personally, I've been in FE for not as long as you guys, but about 18 years. And one of the first terms I heard was the parapet. And it's a defensive sort of term, isn't it? I don't want to put my head above to be able to be, you know, talking about the difficult sort of situation which we're facing. I think, Amajit, you've got a really good point there, and if we had more solution, more support, more a place where everyone is able to be and able to sort of talk about the real things, I think maybe it wouldn't be a place where we've got to be in an area of defence. It could be in a place where we can actually be much more open and be much more supportive. Maybe we need to be starting to tear down those parapets and starting to actually be a place where we can support each other much more would be something which would be amazing to see as an outcome come from this. We've only got about 5 minutes left. I think we've only feels like we've just scratched the surface from it. This is a stream which is always wants to have a place where we talk about anti-racism in action. Stella, what would you want to see is, if you could change the world and you could do anything you wanted to be able to do, what one thing would you want to be able to see as the action point moving forward, like today and also into the future?
I would like to see boards take the the issue of racism in the workplace, because we are talking about employers and employment. I would like to see this become a top priority for all boards and a top priority for action to, yes, start from the data, examine their policies, take a leadership role, this agenda, and not, you know, sort of like we'll do it now, but set an agenda for the next decade or so to begin to tackle this issue, because it is hugely damaging. And at the BFELG, we talk about making the most of an ethnically diverse Britain. It's not about individuals, although yes, individuals matter in this, but if we look at harnessing the talent pool, the skills of everyone, just imagine where we would be as a nation. And I do believe boards should take a leadership role, working with their chief executive and their senior team to make sure that this agenda is taken seriously.
No, thank you, Sarah. Robin, if you could change one thing and have that as a now and in the future, what would you want it to be?
Thanks, Gavin. And a hard act to follow in what Stella's just asked there. But I would say that I would ask every leader that's listening to this particular stream, and indeed every employee, to hold their leaders accountable, effectively hold a lens through the eyes of those with the lived experiences, both inside and outside of your organisation, and hold that lens to your culture, to your content in terms of what's written, policies, practices, etc., your climate and environment within which you're working, and your communication. And when you hold that lens, be open, be prepared to take risks and learn from what will inevitably be some shared mistakes, but also celebrate those successes, because the power of getting this right will have such an impact on our future society that we can't afford to get it wrong, but we've got to do this together. So that would be my call.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you, Robin. Amajit, what would you want to see as the action point for the future?
Thank you. And there are two very, very powerful points from Stella and Robin, so not wishing to repeat those. My wish would be that as employers, the onus is increasingly on ourselves. We now have a lot of apprentices, so we've got people starting in the workplace that are going to be in the workplace for a very long period of time, and the impact and unlocking that potential sits with us. So building on the points that are there before and augmenting those, I would like to see organisations and boards sponsor open conversation and acquire the skills to be able to address the issues practically and to give people the confidence to move forward, so that they can move forward on the basis of knowledge, of a solid foundation of skill, and be able to have conversations and to do something about that to take the agenda forward.
Yeah.
And Gavin, you don't get away.
For me,
what would you like?
For me, what I would really, really like is what I was sort of trying to say with tearing down the power pitch, really, is that how can we all work together to develop solutions, really, so as we can all support each other from like the leadership, but also, as Amajit is saying, how can we bring in those superstars of the future, like those, that future workforce, as everyone can come together and we can actually have a legacy. So as by being a big sort of support structure, rather than it being defensive, like I don't want to get my head above a parapet, I don't want to do this, I'm afraid, basically, how can I be supported? How can I be supported? How can we support each other to be able to make fundamental change? And then that's on the leadership side, but also how can we all support each other then for those people of the future, those board members of the future, those entry level apprentices that are coming in working with Amajit, which are coming in maybe level 2, level 3. You know, in 20 years' time, when they're a board leader, how can we support them to then be able to not repeat what we're doing right now? So I think for me, it'll be how can we come up with solutions and support each other? But that's just my, you know, that's what I'm hoping to be able to get. This is an outcome, basically. Right. Well, we're at the end of the episode. I'm so sorry. It's is this flown by today? Thank you so much, everybody. This is totally co-produced, as I said earlier. Stella has been absolutely key to be able to make this all happen. So, Stella, thank you for joining me today, but thank you for all of the other episodes that you've been putting together and doing it so well. Stella, honestly, everyone in the background has been working so hard to bring this all together and to give us such different diverse guests, different diverse range of views that we're going to be covering. So, Stella, thank you.
And thank you, Gavin, for your support. Amazing support right from the start with the BFELG. And thank you, Robin. Outstanding support from you. You know, you are such a great leader. And thank you, Amarjit, for coming along on this journey with us. We've got a lot more to do together and look forward to our journey, our onward journey. Thank you all for your support.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for listening in as well. And Robin, Amarjit, thank you so much for taking time out today. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And this is episode 2. But don't forget, next week, we've got episode 3, Anti-Racism Action in Higher Education, with Robin, Robin Landman. I couldn't get away with not mentioning it today when I first heard that I was going to have Robin and Amarjit as guests. I was like, no, we're going to have the whole exec team from the Black FE Leadership Group on. But no, it's going to be Robin Landman next week, 9:30. Site-wide on FE News, all for the rest of the day as well, and the catch-up if you can't make can't make it with us live. And thank you, everyone, for joining us today. This is one of 9 episodes where we're hoping that we'll be able to come up with fundamental change and looking back, see the impact report of a couple of weeks ago will just be scratching the surface. I know that this is going to have such fundamental change. And thank you, everyone, for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.